This next story is about what happens when scientists get curious about other scientific disciplines, and it leads to new discoveries sometimes. Current State's Melissa Benmark is here to fill us in. What's up, Melissa?
Well, Mark, this is a little bit complicated, but bear with me for a second. Okay, think about an everyday substance like pollen. There's a lot of it floating around right now, obviously. That's why I sound like this. It's probably on your car windows. You know, you can see that kind of yellow stain. So here's what botanists think of pollen. Pollen helps propagate new plants. Now, allergists think of pollen as something that causes sneezing and allergies. A climate scientist at the University of Michigan thinks that pollen, when broken down by moisture, may actually play a role in helping raindrops form. Dr. Allison Steiner is an associate professor of atmospheric science at the University of Michigan and led a recent study looking at pollen's role in the atmosphere. And I first asked her, why haven't scientists previously thought that pollen played a role in rain formation?
The reason for that is because generally the grains of pollen are considered too large to act as good seed particles for cloud formation. Generally, smaller particles, like on the order of maybe 50 to 200 nanometers in size, are important for the formation of clouds. And pollen grains are much larger. They're more on the order of maybe about 15 to 50 micrometers. So that's a much larger size. And that's just too large to be a good cloud formation droplet.
Just by way of comparison, how big, you know, I know volcanic ash plays some roles mostly in terms of reflecting sunlight. Like, how big is your average piece of volcanic ash?
Volcanic ash has a pretty big range in size, but it puts out so it really depends. So the small particles, the ones that are about 2.5 microns or less, so 2.5 micrometers, those are important because they can interact with the sun's radiation. The larger particles also can be important in the atmosphere, but they don't have quite as much of a climate effect as the small particles do. Things that we found in our study is people generally weren't concerned about pollen because of its large size. But what we've shown is those intact grains can easily rupture when wet and form lots of small particles that could have relevance for climate.
I understand that you got the idea for this study in kind of a mundane way. You were doing some cleaning.
So as I was doing my spring cleaning one year and sweeping up all of the pollen off of my porch, it had me thinking about if we can see that much pollen on all of our surfaces, then there must be quite a bit in the atmosphere.
So how did you take that information from, you know, actual visible pollen to where you get to in your study where it's actually broken down somewhat by moisture?
Well, so I knew, the pollen interest started with just seeing it, you know, outside. When I was doing the spring cleaning, it had me thinking about pollen, but knowing that those grains are too large had me do some literature review. And when I was doing that review, I found in the allergy community, it's fairly well known that the pollen grains can break up into smaller sized particles. And so from that reading, it got us interested in trying to quantify what that effect might be.
So that's really interesting. You reached across the disciplines to medicine from atmospheric science and came up with this idea.
That's right. Most people haven't thought about pollen from the atmospheric science perspective, but certainly in the allergy community, it's a big topic. And so doing some of the review from the medical literature really allowed us to think more broadly about how that might be relevant for atmospheric science.
So fast forward to the study, you use the cloud chamber at Texas A&M, six common wind-driven pollens like ragweed and pine trees, and you broke it down with moisture. Was it stubborn or did it break down fairly easily?
It broke down very quickly. And what we found, we did some experiments where we timed how long we kept it in solution. And that had no effect on the ability of these particles of the pollen to break up into smaller pieces and act as the seed particles for clouds. So based on those studies, we think that it can happen in the atmosphere fairly quickly.
So that might explain why I always think when it rains, oh, that'll clean the particles out of the atmosphere, but maybe
right.
They just break down and make me sneeze. Is that...
Well, exactly. And actually, that was one of the papers that really motivated some of our thoughts, is it's pretty well known in emergency rooms that often after big thunderstorms, they see an insurgence in their emergency rooms of people coming in with asthma symptoms. And they actually call it thunderstorm asthma. So one of the thoughts is that there's something that's happening atmospherically with related to these large storms that's triggering an allergic response in humans.
Well, now, would this potentially mean that something like a drought would be kind of self-fulfilling? Because if there's not rain, then there's less pollen because the plants die. And if there are fewer plants, they don't give the pollen off to help seed the clouds to make rain?
Yeah, there's a couple feedback cycles that we're interested in. The drought is certainly one that's interesting in other parts of the country. And we aren't really experiencing any too many droughts right now in Michigan. But the other aspect is that it could be useful for the plant in terms of transmitting some of that material even further. You know? And then the other part that could be useful is that's another way for the trees to get more precipitation and rain that they need to grow. So there's a couple different feedbacks that we're interested in exploring.
Those of us who are weather geeks have heard of, back in, I guess, the 50s and 60s, they used to seed clouds sometimes experimentally with silver iodide or things like that. And from what I can tell, it's not really agreed on how well that works. Could this discovery that with your study potentially point to a different kind of cloud seeding in the future?
It's hard to say if, you know, you could actually force more cloud seeding experiments with pollen. Certainly, one of the problems with cloud seeding is that you might be causing it to rain in one place, and then you'd be decreasing precipitation somewhere else. So it's hard to say if there are really benefits of cloud seeding. But we're interested in trying to understand how the biosphere might affect that natural source of particles in the atmosphere that could influence cloud formation. And the feedback cycles are something that we're definitely very interested in trying to understand. You know, we know that the trees that are on the ground influence the atmosphere in different ways. And it's still different. We use models to explore those relationships. And so now that we've seen some evidence for this formation of clouds, we want to explore that on the broader scales, on the regional scale, to try to understand how these pulses of pollen might be influencing regional weather.
All right. Well, Dr. Allison Steiner, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, sure. Thanks so much for picking up the story. I'm glad you found it interesting.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.